Let's pray. Father, I praise you and I magnify you. I glorify you. Thank you for this time to meet together with others of like precious faith. Thank you that you're in our midst. I pray that you help me to decrease and allow you to increase and speak with clarity as we reflect on your love and caring for your children. So as I considered this message this morning, it's a Father's Day message, I thought of the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples and the beginning of it. It's in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." But I want to focus this morning on that first line. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. On this Father's Day, I just want to spend a few minutes reflecting on our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Looking at God's creation of man, and men and women, and his steadfast love for us, and his intense desire that we return that love to him. First, let's look at our Heavenly Father and the fact that he created us to oversee his creation. In Genesis 1 and 2, we see the account of God's creation. Genesis 1, 26 through 28 says, "Then God said, 'Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground.'" So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them, male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over all the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves along the ground." Now here was God in the process of creating the heavens and the earth, but he needed someone to watch over and manage his creation. As we might put it today, he needed boots on the ground, right? And to accomplish this, he created man and woman in his image. And he blessed us, and he gave us a job to do. He gave us the skills we needed to accomplish that job. In Genesis 2:7, we see the account of his creation of Adam, the first man. "Then the Lord God formed the man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living being." And in Genesis 2:21 through 22, that's when he created Eve, the first woman. "So the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and then closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. So as we reflect on the creation of Adam and Eve, one thing we should realize is that while God was creating Adam and Eve, guess what? He was also creating you and me. Because we're all descendants of Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman. We're all of our genealogies began with Adam and Eve. So isn't it exciting to know that we were lovingly created in his image by our Father in heaven with a definite purpose in mind? So currently it may seem that we're not doing so good with taking care of his creation. And there's some truth to that. But we'll see later that God has made provisions for us to come back to him and for his creation to survive and do well. So the second thing we want to look at is our Heavenly Father was intimately involved in each of our births. He was not only actively created Adam and Eve, but in according to Psalms 139, 13 through 18, so he was involved with us. So verse 13, Psalm 139, 13 says, you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. Think about that. While we were in our mother's womb, Jehovah, the mighty God, El Elyon, the highest sovereign of the universe, was creating our inmost being. Those things that make us uniquely us were put in there by God. Your talents, your skills, your likes, your dislikes, your temperament, your strengths, and anything else that was needed to carry out your purpose, God was putting them in there while we were still in our mother's womb. In verse 14, 139, 14 says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My simple interpretation of this scripture is that God don't make no junk. He didn't make any junk when he created you and or me. This is the psalmist talking about himself. He's just said in verse 13 that God made him and put his skills and talents in it. Now he's saying that God made him fearfully and wonderfully. So you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You like that? Amen. Amen. In verse 13, he says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. I was woven together in the depths of the earth. God knew what he was doing when he was making you. He was making a fearful and wonderful being. He needed you to be fearful and wonderful because he's got a special and unique purpose for you to fulfill on this earth. And verse 16 says, your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. God has orchestrated the time of your birth so that you'd be alive in such a time as this. You're here on earth today, June 21st, 2026, because this is the time that God needs you to be here. There are some tasks that needs to be done on this earth that God needs your hands, your feet, and your mouth to accomplish. No one else can accomplish this task as effectively as you can. But listen to me, even if you choose not to, God's going to assign someone else to do it. But the impact for God's kingdom won't be as great as if you were doing it. So I urge us all to pay attention to the Lord, listen to him, and get on that path. And if we were on that path and we fell off of it, let's get back on it, because he's got something for you to do. And then verses 17 and 18 says, how precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Jeremiah 29:11. I don't think this in there is in there, Giorgio. But that's what I think about when I think about these verses. 29:11 says, God's saying, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And the third point I want to talk about our Heavenly Father is he's merciful. He is a merciful God. So if we go back to Genesis, God created man and woman to oversee and manage his creation. However, he did not create them as robots. He left mankind with the free will to choose whether we would follow his plans or another's plan. In Genesis chapter 3, we see the account of Adam and Eve choosing to follow another plan. In Genesis 3:16 and 17, it says, and the Lord God commanded man, you are free to eat from any tree in the garden. You must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for when you eat from it, you will certainly die. Okay, so God, let's be clear. God doesn't wink at our sins. When we choose to disobey his plan for our lives, there are consequences. In Genesis 3, 16 through 18, God provided Adam and Eve with the consequences of their disobedience. And I'm going to let you read. I'm going to give you homework to read chapter 3 so you can see the whole story. But in the interest of time, I'm just going on. As you read chapter 3, you're going to see that in his mercy, God did not destroy Adam and Eve. He didn't kill them physically. Spiritually, yeah, they lost some stuff. There was additional work Adam had to do to take care of the creation. Eve, there was sorrow. It says there was sorrow in conception and great pain in childbirth. Just think about it. If they hadn't done that, ladies, maybe childbirth would be no pain. Okay. Praise God. So despite this transgression, God still loved Adam and Eve. He still used them and their descendants, that's us, in the management of his creation. And God, that's the same heart God has for us. He is merciful. He's a merciful God. The next thing I want to look at about our Heavenly Father, and that is that he does have a plan for redemption. We just saw that Adam and Eve, they slipped away. They slipped a little bit, or a lot, depending on how you look at it, okay? But John 3:16 and 17 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into this world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him." Very familiar passage, very familiar passage. We talked about Adam and Eve, but God, the Word has many accounts of God's leaders choosing to disobey or not follow his commands, his directions or commands. We can think about Moses striking the rock instead of speaking to it. There are many more. I'm not going to go through them. But John 3:16 is God's plan to redeem us when we disobey his commandment. His love is always available for us. We simply need to reach out to him, ask for forgiveness, and accept that sacrificial atonement that he offers. He's a merciful God with a plan for redemption. And when the word says, "For God so loved the world," our Heavenly Father's love is steadfast. It's always there. I look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 6. It says, love is patient. God is patient. He gives us a chance. Love is kind. That kind of love that God has, it's kind because he offers it to us. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It does not dishonor others. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. You know, God would that each of us would have that same kind of love and live that same kind of love every day with everybody. But guess what? That's not how it happens. But that's all right. That's all right. You know, as we're loving and someone comes up and treats you wrong and maybe doesn't love you right, you can fix it because you can love them right, right? Because we're only responsible for those things that we do. We're only responsible for how we treat others and how we treat our Heavenly Father in heaven, our Heavenly Father. Praise the Lord. Our Heavenly Father, Father desires for us to accept that redemption. I'm going to read a long passage I tell myself without comment, but we'll see, okay? And in this passage, this is Deuteronomy 30, 10 through 20. This is an Old Testament where God is reaching out to his people and saying, accept me, follow after me, do what I ask you to do. And it shows that as we get down toward the end, the earnestness of God's desire for them to do that. So let me just read. Let me start reading. Deuteronomy 10. If you obey the Lord your God and keep his commands and decrees that are written in this book of the law, and turn to the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And then he says, now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult or beyond your reach. Listen to the words. It is not up in heaven so that you have to ask, who will ascend into heaven to get it and proclaim it to us so we may obey it? Nor is it beyond the sea so that you have to ask, who will cross the sea to get it and proclaim it to us so that we may obey it? No, the word is very near you. It is in your mouth, it is in your heart. God is saying to them and to us, it's here. It's not a hard thing for you to accept my love. It's not a hard thing for you to do what I've asked you to do. And you don't have to go searching for it. It's right here. It's right here. Going on, verse 14. It says, see, I set before you today life and prosperity, death and destruction. God says, you got a choice. You can have life and prosperity in me, or death and destruction without me. Verse 16 says, for I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in obedience to him, to keep his commands, decrees, and laws, then you will live and increase, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land you are entering to possess. But if your heart turns away and you are not obedient, if you are drawn away to bow down to other gods and worship them, I declare to you this day that you will certainly be destroyed. You will not live long in the land you are crossing the Jordan to enter and possess. This day I call the heavens and the earth to witness against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life so that your children may live. God's telling us, choose life. Choose life. And that you may love the Lord your God and listen to his voice and hold fast to him. For the Lord is your life, and he will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As I read these scriptures, couldn't you feel God's compassion for his people? I want you to serve me because I want to bless you. I want to give you a good life in the land. And not only do I want to bless you, I want to bless your children. Wow. And then the next thing I want to talk about, our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father gives us a clear and simple way to accept that redemption that he was just talking about. It's very familiar, Romans 10, 6 through 10. But I want you to listen, and as we read 6 and 7 especially, you'll see that God is, this scripture is saying the same thing God said back in Deuteronomy. That redemption is very near. Very near. It's not hard to get. You don't have to go searching for it. So let's read it. But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, It's in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message concerning faith that we proclaim. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it's with your heart that you believe and are justified, and with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. Today, Father's Day, it's a good day to answer our Heavenly Father's invitation and accept Christ as your Lord if you don't already know him. I'm going to ask, is there anybody in here that doesn't know the Lord and has a desire to accept him? I see, I look around and I see most of you all. That's good. But it's always good to acknowledge to the Lord and come to the Lord and talk to him and let him know that while we serve him, we still believe him. So I want us all together to make this declaration of 9 and 10, Romans 10, 9 and 10. I'd like you to just repeat after me. Repeat after me. Heavenly Father, today I declare with my mouth that Jesus is Lord. And I believe in my heart that you have raised him from the dead. I declare that based on this confession of faith, I am saved. I am a part of your kingdom. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I know you may have made it many times, but doesn't it make you feel so good just to tell God that you're his and that he is our God? Now, in closing, though, this is Father's Day, and I wanted to honor God with this message and let us see him as he is. And I want to read a prayer of adoration. This is a little book. It's prayers that avail much. Some of you all are probably familiar with it. There are a lot of prayers that you can find if you just don't know how to pray. They give you some suggestions. There's scriptures associated, so you can go read the scriptures. It's actually a huge manual, but I just be happening to read from this one, prayers that avail much for fathers. Hey, guys. Whisper, I want that. Go ahead, I'll give you a minute. I'm going to pray this prayer of adoration, and I just want you all to just join me as we praise and honor our God. Okay? It says, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless your holy name. I adore you and I make known to you my adoration and love this day. I bless your name, Elohim, the creator of heaven and earth, who was in the beginning. It is you who made me, and you have crowned me with glory and honor. You're the God of might and strength. Hallowed be thy name. I bless your name, El Shaddai, the God Almighty of blessings. You're the breasty one who nourishes and supplies. You're all bountiful and all sufficient. Hallowed be thy name. I bless your name, Adonai, my Lord and my Master. You are Jehovah, the completely self-existing one, always present, revealed in Jesus, who is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hallowed be thy name. I bless your name, Jehovah Jireh, the one who sees my needs and provides for them. Hallowed be thy name. I bless your name, Jehovah Rapha, my healer, the one who makes bitter experiences sweet. You sent your word and healed me. You forgave all my iniquities and you healed all my diseases. Hallowed be thy name. I bless your name, Jehovah Mekadesh, The Lord, my sanctifier, you have set me apart for yourself. Hallowed be thy name. Jehovah Nissi, you are my victory, my banner, and my standard. Your banner over me is love. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, you lift up a standard against him. Hallowed be thy name. Jehovah Shalom, I bless your name. You are my peace, the peace which transcends all understanding, which garrisons and mounts guard over my heart and my mind in Christ Jesus. Hallowed be thy name. I bless you, Jehovah Sidkenu, my righteousness. Thank you for becoming sin for me that I might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Hallowed be thy name. Jehovah Rohi, you are my shepherd, and I shall not want for any good or beneficial thing. Hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah to Jehovah Shammah, who will never leave me nor forsake me. You are always there. I take comfort and am encouraged and confidently and boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be seized with alarm. I will not fear or dread or be terrified. What can man do to me? Hallowed be thy name. I worship and adore you, El Elyon, the Most High God, who is the first cause of everything, the possessor of the heavens and the earth. You're the everlasting God, the great God, the living God, the merciful God, the faithful God, the mighty God. Your truth, justice, righteousness, and perfection. You're El Elyon, the highest sovereign of the heavens and the earth. Hallowed be thy name. Father, you have exalted above all else your name and your word, and you have magnified your word above all your name. The word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and his name is Jesus. Hallowed be thy name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. This morning, let's just praise our Heavenly Father on this Father's Day. Father, I do praise you. I honor you. I magnify you. I lift you up on high. Thank you for your grace and your tender mercies. Thank you for your protection, Father, your healing touch, your strength, Father, your favor, Father. We just love you and we praise you and we honor you. We magnify, we glorify you. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we lift up these praises in Jesus' name.